This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hello, good to see you all. What a good time of worship, hey? I reckon I know about half the faces in the room, so that's nice, good for me. I love this church. I love you guys. Thanks, Andre, and the eldership. I just want to honor the eldership here and all you guys are doing. Well done. And we love Jason Shells. Beck and I, we got a great relationship with them. And so it's cool for me to be preaching here this morning. I do miss my home church, but I think that's normal. So good to be here. Are we good? Yeah, we're good. All right. Who's got a paper Bible? Cool. Yep. None of those phone Bibles. Got a paper Bible? Yeah. Come on. Show us your paper Bibles. We're going to get into the Word this morning. I won't preach too long, but I do believe God's given me a good Word. Turn to Romans 4, and we'll start in there. Romans 4. We're going to go Romans 4, verse 16. Most people know me. I'm Dean from the Sanctuary Church over in Lilydale, and it's been awesome just to, you know, Mombolk. You're still a part of the Lilydale region. Are you still a part of the Yarra Valley in Mombolk? I don't know. Do you count? Yeah, right. Yeah, cool. I guess so. It's cool. God's just doing awesome stuff. Hey, God's good, and we're seeing. We're seeing people saved on the streets. Who knows? Who's met my brother Lee? Yep, big dude, big unit, big dude, bigger than Dad and I. And we go out in the streets together. We lead a team out every Thursday night, and we see probably for 8 months we weren't seeing much. I just want to encourage people on the power of prayer and on the power of being obedient to what God has said. For 8 months, we were on the streets and we're talking to people about Jesus, and we're going through, and not much was happening. Not many people, you know, a lot of rejection, a lot of like, oh, God, what are you doing? You know, like I love talking to people about Jesus, but there comes a time where it's like you get rejected enough to be like, all right, this is getting a bit hard. So after 8 months, we had one night where seven people were led to the Lord on one night. And this was at Lilydale train station. And really cool. And so ever since then, it's like the floodgates have opened up. And so if you have a heart for evangelism, if you have a heart to see people know God, you're more than welcome to join us 5:30 p.m. at Lilydale station. And we just go after it. And we see people saved. We see people healed. We see a lot of young people come to Jesus, which is exciting. So awesome to be here with you this morning, and thanks again to Jason Shells who are on a break. That's pretty cool that they can go on a break and the church still runs in a healthy way. Hey, that's good. So that's a good sign, and God's doing some great stuff. So Romans 4, let's read it out. Romans 4 verse 16. I'm going to go NIV. Here we go. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. So Abraham, our father of faith, if you want a great example in the scriptures of what faith looks like, look at the life of Abraham. Amen. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. So I just love the example of God that the scripture says, God is the God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that which is not. So that's a great example of the God we follow. Amen. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. Have you ever been in a situation where it's against all hope? And do you notice it says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. In other words, there are two kinds of hope. There is the hope in the world. There is man's kind of hope. It's a, I hope it all turns out all right. Well, I just hope I get through today. Well, I hope this is going to happen in my life. I hope that there's a hope of, like, the world sees hope as, like, it's something we say to someone who's having a really tough time, and it's like, man, I hope you get through it, right? That is not biblical hope. The scripture here talks about a biblical hope, which is a supernatural hope from God. It's a little bit different, all right? So against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old. Anyone hit 100 in the room yet? No takers? Nah, cool. Great. So you still got a lot of life left in you then. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So, this is cool. The example of faith in Scripture, the greatest example that you have of faith is a man who was 100 years old and he believed God for a child and the child came forth. Amen? So that's a good example of faith. That shows the potential of faith. That shows the potential of my life. I just think it's a miracle that they still wanted a child at 100 years old. I got a 2.5-year-old and my wife Beck is 38 weeks pregnant and I'm thinking, dang, like I'm 32. I'm good. Like, kids are hard, man. And they, 100 years old, they wanted a little toddler. They wanted a little kid running around, jumping on. Anyway, that's the miracle to me. It's like, poof. And I'm a person of faith. Who's a person of faith in the room? Like, faith, like, if you want someone to have faith for something, I'm there with you. Like, I'm going to partner with you. Like, yep, let's go after it. Let's go after faith. I grew up kind of word of faith. Who's a word of faith? Who knows the word of faith movement? So I grew up like spiritually word of faith. So get the word of God. This is God's word, inspired by God, his final authority. You apply this to your life and it's going to work. You get the word of God, the promises of God are yes and amen unto us in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so you get the word, you apply it to your life and it will work. His word is the final authority. Amen. I'm a word of faith person. But an important thing that we can miss in the scriptures is something that we need to add to our faith. Because it says in here that Abraham didn't just have faith, but he had hope. Amen. I think what we tend to do in the church is we have faith for things, we believe for things, but what do we do when what we believe for does not come to pass? What do we do when we've had faith for something? You've been believing God for something. The scripture, the word of God says this. And yes, God, I apply that to my life. I'm believing for that. And then it doesn't happen. What do we do? How do you process that with the Lord? And it says for Abraham that in hope, against all hope, he believed. In other words, hope is one of the most important supernatural principles. I wouldn't even call it a principle. I would call it something that God adds to our walk with him so that we can live in joy. See, where faith is often rigid, hope is flexible. I want you to think about this. Think about when I started driving when I was 18, I had a Malway, right? Who's got the Malways? Yep. Who's bold enough to confess that they still don't use Google Maps on their iPhone, but you still use a Malway? Come on, all right. And I love the Malway, but Google Maps is just so much easier. Like, come on, turn Google Maps on, gives you routes, do whatever. Correct, yep, sometimes. But the Malway, I had to remember where I was going when I was 18. I had to try and remember it in my head. You get to a street, oh, wrong turn, you have to stop, pull over, chuck the Malway. iPhone, Google Maps, bang, takes you straight, easy, other option, right? So I want you to think about this because Abraham was a man of faith, but he wasn't just a man of faith, he was a man of hope. And where faith can take you places, but hope can also take you places that we don't realize. I want you to think of this. Faith is like, God, this is my destination. God, this is where you want to take me. So faith sees. Faith sees where God wants to take you. Faith sees the promises of God and enters in to what God has promised. Right? So faith is, this is grace. We live from the finished work of the cross. And faith enters me in to what God has already provided by grace. So faith responds to grace. Amen. I'm not trying to convince God with my faith. I'm trying to live out of all he's already purchased for me through the finished work of the cross. Amen. I'm like Israel in the promised land. And I'm in the land of promises. And I'm trying to fight off the enemy that's trying to come in. Right? That's faith. And faith sees the promises of God and says, that's mine. I've got it. Right? That's my destination. That's where I'm heading. But see, if we don't have hope with our faith, then there's a problem. Because where faith is often rigid, saying, I've got to get there, and that's where I'm going, and that's the promise of God, hope is flexible. Hope is like the GPS system in your car, right? And faith, so you type in your destination, this is where I'm going, God. But what do you do? What does your GPS system do when you go and there's been a car accident or there's roadworks? It reroutes you, right? It recalibrates. It's the GPS system that goes, oh, hang on, this didn't work. I'm going to go around. It's, oh, hang on, this has happened. There's this thing. Oh, I'll go around here and I'll go that way. And if we're a people of faith, but we're not a people of hope, what happens is we believe God for things and we're going to our destination. Something wrong happens and it doesn't turn out the way we expected. And all of a sudden we're stuck there. If we don't add hope, we stay stuck there. And where faith is rigid, I'm stuck, this is my destination, but there's a roadblock here, hope is the GPS system that reroutes you. Hope is the GPS system that says, oh, I'm stuck here, oh, hang on, I'm rerouting, I'm going around that way. See, where faith says, God, I was believing you for this, and it didn't happen, hope says he will work things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Come on. So where faith goes, well, Lord, I was believing for you that this would happen in my marriage, or this would happen with someone in my family for their health issue, or this would happen, and it doesn't turn out the way you're expecting it to, hope comes in and begins rerouting you to get you to your destination. Come on. And so we need to be a people of faith, but what I've figured out in life and what is the most biblical narrative is that hope is the substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, hope is the foundation for faith to grow. And there is a lot of people, and it's like, I've got faith that God will do this. I've got faith that I'm living like this, but they're not adding hope to their daily walk with the Lord. And so you're living and your emotions are down and you're living depressed and you're worried and you're fearful. Oh, but I'm believing God that I'll get there. But see, you add faith to that and all of a sudden, you can put a smile on your face. Come on. Or all of a sudden, you'll get a bit happy. Why? Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. It doesn't say faith deferred makes the heart sick. It says hope deferred makes the heart sick. So many people I know, it's like, yep, I believe God. I believe he can do this. I'm believing he's doing this, but I'm just getting by. I'm battling every day. It's like my job is just to survive through the week and I'll just get by. Oh, but I believe the Lord. I believe that he can do this in my life. I believe he'll take it. But in the meantime, until he does it, I'm just getting by. We need to add hope to our faith, because hope brings a healthy and happy heart. And hope says, even if it doesn't work out the way I expected it to, the way I was praying for, the way I was believing God for, I'll still be happy. I'll still be joyful because I know my God is good. I live from the goodness of God. I've got hope that this is going to work out, baby. I got hope that God's going to reroute me. If I don't get over the mountain this way, I'm going to go around it this way. Come on. And so we live with a biblical hope because our hope is living. Our hope is alive. His name is Jesus. So we should be the most hope-filled, happy people in the world. The church is not a people who are believing for things to happen, but in the meantime, it's hard. We just got to get by this next thing, this next trial. We've got to get through this. No, we have a living hope who is the anchor for our soul, and he's gone into behind the veil and he's made a way for us to come straight through. We have a living hope. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these being love. What we tend to do is we read this scripture like, now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is faith. Then the next is love. And then the next is hope. That is the model of how much of the church operates. But the scripture says the greatest is love. Amen? Love is greater than faith. Come on. The greatest is love. And then the next two is hope and faith. Hope and faith, the scriptures put hope and faith on the same level. Come on. And so we're adding hope to our faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I'm believing for the Lord for things in my life personally. And I'm going after it. And we want to see more people saved. We want to see more people know Jesus. But I also just want to see my family be healthy and prosperous. I also just want to see my marriage going really well. I also just want to see my daily life and my daily interaction with people like releasing the kingdom of God wherever I go, living for Jesus wherever I go, right? Hope is what creates a foundation for me to do that. And the church, I can tell you right now, in general, lacks hope. The church is great at faith, but we lack a biblical hope. And so when things don't turn out the way I expect in life, all of a sudden I get depressed for 2 weeks. I question myself, I question God, and I think, well, this thing mustn't be working. But hope is the antidote to what faith can't do. Hope is the antidote to disappointment in your life. And if you're a disappointed, discouraged believer, come on, you need to get some hope in your heart. You need a hope-filled heart. Amen? In Matthew 17:20, Jesus says, if anyone, I just think, this is cool. If anyone has faith the size of a mustard seed, he can say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done for him. So how much faith is required to move a mountain? That's not a lot of faith. Like, the Bible actually says you don't need much faith to see God do things in your life. You don't need much faith to see miracles. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed. So what's the problem in our life then? Because what we tend to do is we say, well, I was believing for this. It didn't happen. there must be something wrong with my faith. The Bible doesn't say that there's anything wrong with your faith if it says that you need faith the size of a mustard seed. The scriptures say you have faith. We need faith, but we're living in it. We got like I would say that I've got a mustard seed. Who's got mustard seed faith? Like Jesus didn't say you need really big faith. You need to be the greatest superstar Christian to see him move in power, to see him move in love, to see him do what he said he was going to do. So what's the problem? The problem is that we're not looking after our heart and we've believed God for things and we're moving and moving and moving in faith, but we've forgotten about hope. We've forgotten about one of the most important aspects in Scripture. So when Jesus was with his disciples in Luke chapter 5 and he comes out onto a boat with them and he says, cast your net to Peter, right? He's teaching from the lake. He goes out on the boat and he says, cast your net into the ocean. And Peter, what does Peter say? He says, I've been fishing all night and we've caught nothing. If you want to feel some discouragement, go out, plan a big fishing day like I often do. Go fishing, catch nothing. That's a good way to drain your faith. Lee and I, we're going to our favorite fishing spot. We went there, I caught one fish, and we went home, and we're never going back there again. Anyway. But, oh man. Every time I tell this example, I got to stop telling fishing stories, my wife says to me. So they're out fishing, and I get Peter's discouragement. I get his disappointment. We've been fishing all night, and we've caught nothing. And Jesus says, cast your net onto the other side. Cast your net into the sea, right? Cast it back in. And we know the outcome. We know the result. You follow the word of God. Jesus says it. You better do it, right? Because that's just the way God set it up. Casts his net into sea, he pulls up the fish and he catches a miracle catch of fish. What does it say? It says that the nets began to break. And he caught the fish, the partners in the boat come over and they help him get it onto land. We all want to catch fish, right? Every single person wants to be like, yep, I want my faith to work. I want what I've been praying for and believing for to happen. If you don't want to see more fruit in your prayer life, you probably need to go back to God and say, teach me how to pray, right? Like we want to be a people of prayer and our prayers working because, you know, Jesus said, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you so that the Father will be glorified in the Son, right? So that's a lot of potential in prayer. And we want to catch those fish. Faith is the net that catches the fish. I want you to think about this. I'm casting my net. Faith's the net that catches the fish. So I'm casting it, I'm getting it out there. My net could be this big or it could be this big, but I'm expecting it to catch at least one or a couple of fish, right? What happens is if I'm catching no fish? What happens when I'm throwing the net out and I keep casting it out, but then all of a sudden the fish aren't coming in? And see, hope is... Actually, I'll explain it like this. This is a better way to explain it. The fishermen, what they would do is when they pulled the net in, time after time and again, the nets would begin to break, right? And what would they have to do? They would have to mend their nets. So any good fisherman was like, I'm not going to bother going fishing with a broken net. Because if I go fishing with a broken net, I'm going to cast it out there, I'm going to pull it in, I'm going to get nothing because all the fish are going to get out. And then I'm going to think that there's no fish there. And then I'm going to think that, God, what are you doing to me? Because there's meant to be fish here. I'm casting the net and I'm not getting anything, right? And so many of us in life, we cast our net and we keep casting our net out and we're not getting anything. And then we think it's a problem with God. And then we begin to blame God and we do things and we say like, well, it's the sovereignty of God. That must have been God's will. That must have been the reason this didn't happen is because God withheld it from me, or God did this, or God did that. And we begin to blame God for things that he's never done, and the devil gets away with highway robbery. So what we're meant to do is we're meant to mend our nets. Our nets are meant to be mended. Hope is what mends the nets. Hope is what mends our net of faith. So we keep casting out our net, and we're like, we get a little bit of fish. You know, who's ever done, like, you pray once or twice, like, when, and it's like, yep, I'm seeing some results. I'm seeing some results. You know, I'm praying for a family member to know the Lord. I have a conversation. Yep, I'm seeing some results. Or I'm praying for a financial miracle. Yep, I'm seeing a little bit of results. But all of a sudden, I keep casting that net, and then I'm getting nothing, and I'm drawing it in. Well, I better cast that net again. Well, you just got to pray more, brother. Well, you've just got to believe harder. Well, you've just got to read your word more. Come on, we've all had that. Well, I've just got to do something, right? If you're in that place where I've just got to do something, come back to the scriptures. Come back to the word of God and what it says. If I've just got to do something, then maybe I have a problem, because my scriptures say that God, he provides all by grace. We are saved by grace through faith. So I don't need to add anything to what God's done. So then what do I do? Hope is what mends the nets. Hope says, well, I'm casting my net. I'm not getting anything. Maybe I need to mend it. Like, maybe the good fisherman will be like, where are the fish escaping? Where are the fish getting out? And all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to mend that net there. Oh, all of a sudden, hang on, there's a hole here. And I've got to mend it. I've got to heal it. I've got to replace. I've got to get in there. I've got to refresh this net instead of just keep on casting it out. And hope in our hearts is what mends the net of faith. Hope will take you where faith can't take you. Hope will take you to places where faith can't go, because hope is what reroutes you. In hope, against all hope, Abraham believed. So Abraham wasn't like, I need to believe more and have more faith. He understood that hope was the foundation for his faith to grow. He understood that if I carry hope in my heart, it mends the net of faith, and then my faith is going to catch something. Are we getting this? So hope's important. Hope is so important. Our hope, listen to this, our hope level in an area reveals whether we are believing lies or truth. So a good tester of whether I'm believing the lie or truth, whether I'm believing the word of God or not, is if I have hope in an area. If I look at an area of my life and it's like, if I look at an area and it's not doing well, my hope is down, I'm going to leave that. What happens in our lives is we get disappointed in an area and we push that to the side. Right? And we say, I'm not going to deal with that because I have disappointment and hurt there. If I lack hope in an area, it means I'm believing a lie. If I lack hope in an area, it means I'm believing a lie. Something has taken root in my heart that is not the word of God, that is not what God intended, and I'm believing a lie where I need to shift that and renew my mind. Biblical hope always stems from biblical truth. So if I'm believing truth in my heart, I'm going to be full of hope. Come on. Because, come on, hope is the GPS. Hope is like, hey, this didn't work out. I'm going around. God's rerouting me. Hey, this didn't happen the way I expected. Come on, it's okay. God's taking me around this way. Come on. He is the God of all hope. He is our living hope. We should be the most hope-filled, happy people upon the earth, whether we're worshiping with 5 people around us or 500 people around us. Come on. Whether I'm in this trial or I'm in that trial, the God of all hope is releasing hope to me today, so the nets are being mended and I can live with a healthy and happy heart. And that sounds quite biblical to me, that it doesn't matter what I'm going through, my internal world impacts my external world. So when Jesus is in the boat and he's going along with the disciples in Mark chapter 5, and there's a big storm going on all around them, right? And the disciples, they're throwing the water out. They're freaking out. And we often, you know, we just don't learn our lesson. We do this all the time. Problems come along. And Jesus, where are you? God, what are you doing? Jesus is sleeping in the boat, right? He's asleep. And when they wake him up, he wakes up. And what does he say to the storm? He says, "Peace, be still." In other words, his internal, Jesus's internal reality impacted his external reality. The storm on the outside did not get on the inside of Jesus because he had a hope-filled, happy heart. Who knows that they were going to the Garden of the Gadarenes, and Jesus says, "That's where we're going. We're going there." They had that word from God. But the disciples, a storm comes, and all of a sudden they're freaking out. God, this is my destination, but what's happening right now? What's happening right now? The internal reality of Jesus impacted the storm. Who knows that there's a reason there was a storm, the Bible says, because they were going over to a place where there was a man with a legion of demons. In other words, the storm was not from God. But a lot of our perspective is that we're going in the boat, I'm following Jesus, this is God's word on my life, for my family, for whatever I'm doing, I'm following God. I'm on the lake, Jesus is with me, he's in my boat. But all of a sudden this storm comes. A lot of us do this. God, can you get rid of this storm? God, won't you come and fix this storm for me, this problem for me? And then what happens is we stay stuck in the storm, and then we say, "Well, God, you must have sent that storm. This is your will, so I'll just sit back and take it." Right? But that's not the story. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what the story explains. The storm was not from God. That storm was not from the Lord. In fact, the Lord was in the storm, and he got up and rebuked the storm, and he was unhappy with his disciples. Why? He was unhappy with the disciples because they were fearful and afraid, and they didn't let what Jesus had taught them penetrate their heart and go into the storm. They let the storm get into them and shift the truth and the word of God in their heart. Come on. And so we live with a hope-filled, happy heart. And if I'm not looking at my life with a hope-filled lens, I'm going through this problem, this storm, but I'm full of hope, that means I'm believing something that's wrong. It's a good indicator. My emotions are a good indicator for me that if I'm not in a healthy emotional state, I'm believing something that's wrong. And so I need to come back to the Lord and say, "Fill me with hope." Come on. Fill me with your hope, God. You're like shift the foundations of my heart, because there are foundations in my heart where that aren't right, where I'm believing a lie, where I'm going around and I'm thinking, "Well, this always happens to me. My prayers never work." And then we do things out of obedience, but it doesn't work because our internal reality needs to shift and change. We do things out of obedience because we're good Christians, right? And we know that's what we should do. So there's someone you know in your workplace or your family and they're sick. And so it's like, "Well, I better pray for them," right? Because I better look like I'm a good Christian and I have faith. So I better pray for that person. But the internal reality of our heart has no faith in the prayer, because we're disappointed and we're discouraged because of things that we've believed for in the past. I've prayed for healing for someone in the past and it didn't happen. And now I'm full of disappointment. But I better be obedient to God and still pray for healing. Not realizing that I actually need to address the foundations of my heart, so when I live in obedience, I'm living in health and faith and happiness. Come on. So, we need a hope-filled lens in life. Like, we need to learn to bounce back from things. We need to learn to deal with disappointments in our life. Like, I remember when I started, when I was like, God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Lord, you've called me to live naturally supernatural because that's what the Bible teaches. I wouldn't do it unless that's what Jesus taught, that I can follow him and through prayer can see mountains move, right? So I want to go around in my daily life and I want to see people impacted by you, God, through me. So we're out in the streets and we're talking to people about Jesus and nothing's happening and nothing's moving. But God, you promised it, but nothing's happened. For 8 months, nothing's happened, right? I need to address my heart. I need to think to myself, okay, is there an internal reality in me that may need to shift? Because all of a sudden, my hope and faith are going, right? And I remember I got to the point where I go up to tell someone about Jesus, but I'm not doing it because I'm really happy about it. I'm not doing it because this is, I'm doing it because that's what God said I should do, so I better do it, right? And so I go up to Peter and I'm like, hey, I just want to encourage you that Jesus loves you. But there's no hope, there's no joy in my heart when I'm saying it, and there is an expectation from me that when I share with someone, that they're going to reject me, right? And so I'm walking along for like 6 months, and I'm looking like a great Christian. I'm looking really bold, really brave, and I'm sharing with people, hey, Jesus loves you. Wherever I go, I'm praying for people. Hey, like, I want you to know God loves you. Sharing the gospel with people, praying for people, just in my everyday life, down the street, in the shopping center, at work, wherever, right? But there is no expectation in my heart that that person will receive it well. In fact, the expectation of my heart was that this person will reject me. Who's a slow learner like me? You're just a slow learner. I'm like that with the Lord. It's like, I'm going after these things, but all right, this isn't working, so whatever. I'll just keep going. I'll keep hitting my head against a brick, right? And I remember getting to a point where I'm like, well, God, this isn't working. Like, do you ever take time just to get to that point? Do you ever, it's good to, like, God, this isn't working. What's going on? Why is this not working, Lord? And I remember God saying to me, I remember him saying, what are you believing about what you were doing? And I'm like, well, that's not a helpful phrase. That doesn't help me at all. What are you believing about what you were doing? There's no expectation in your heart. There's no hope. There's no joy. You're doing everything right externally. But internally, you are lacking hope. Internally, you are lacking an expectation. And so what we need to do is we need to address our heart. We need to address how we are living daily. We need to address our emotional life. Jesus loves you. Or when I share Jesus with people, why don't I expect that people will receive it well? When I pray for someone, is there an expectation in my heart that bang, that God's going to touch their life? Why is there not an expectation in my heart that when I tell someone about Jesus, they'll be like, oh, yes, please, I need that because I've been living like this my whole life and I need a living hope. I need God. Amen? Why is there not an expectation in my heart that when I pray for someone for healing that there'll be a miracle? Because that's what the Word of God says. You know, there wouldn't be that expectation if God didn't say it, but he said it. But then I'm not seeing it. And if you don't see it for a while, all of a sudden you get into disappointment. And so I need to address disappointment in my life. And the way I address disappointment is I say, God, shift that area and fill it with hope. God, give me a hope-filled lens. Help me to see my life. Help me to see my world through your hope-filled lens. Come on. If I'm looking at my world and if I'm looking at this region, my family, if I'm looking at the country of Australia, and I'm saying, well, it's just, The devil's just taking over. Well, luckily that, you know, there's all these bad things happening in politics, or there's all this bad stuff happening, and well, I guess, yeah, like God prophesied it, and it's just the devil's going to take over. Lucky we're going to get out of here soon. That is not a hope-filled lens. I need a hope-filled lens in my life. I need God to show me every area of my life the way He sees it. And if there's something in my heart that doesn't align with that, I need to say, Lord, fill my heart with truth. Come on. For this church, I need to say, God, fill me with a hope-filled lens for my local church. Fill me with a hope-filled lens for my local church and what you want to do in the area of Mumbolk, God. Fill me with your lens. Fill me with hope. If I'm coming to church and it's like, well, it's just another Sunday. Well, I guess, yep, God's not doing much in Mumbolk. If I'm living with that disposition in life, I need to say, Lord, come and get rid of that lie. Come on, come and fill me with truth. Come and fill me with hope. In Mark 4, there is the parable of the seeds. And who knows that Jesus, when he shares this parable, there's the farmer who sows the seed into the soil. Where does he get the seed from? Well, Jesus talks about the seed coming from God. He says, He's the one who provides the seed, and He sows the seed. And there are four different grounds that the seed falls upon, right? The seed falls on the pathway, right? It falls on the thorns, the thistles. It falls on good soil, on bad soil. There are four different, it's an explanation that Jesus describes of four different hearts that the seed of God's word falls upon. And the scripture says at the end that the heart that had good soil produced 30, 60, 100 fold, right? That means that there was never a problem with the seed, right? There was no issue with the seed, the issue was with the soil. What we tend to do is we get the seed of God's word, we put it to work, we sow it, the rain comes, all this stuff, it doesn't work, and then we say, there must be an issue with the seed. There must be an issue with God and His word, because the seed's not working. But the scripture doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that there's an issue with the seed. It teaches that there was an issue with the soil. It says there was a soil with thorns and thistles, which represent the cares and the worries of the world. It says that there was soil that was shallow, and so the seed couldn't take root. And it says there's soil that was hard, and so when the seed came, the birds of the air took the seed off the hard soil, off the concrete path. The representation of our heart. Right? Is our heart hard? Does our heart have weeds in it that are choking the seed? Or is my heart full of hope? Is my heart full of the truth of who God is, of the goodness of God? Is my heart like Abraham, in hope, against all hope, Abraham believed? Is my heart going to God and saying, Lord, this didn't turn out the way I expected it. God, this didn't happen the way I was believing it and what your word says. But I'm going to keep a soft and tender heart. Because it's not our job to sit back and analyze the seed or the farmer who sows the seed. It's our job to look after the soil of our heart. It's our job to look after the soil and tend to the soil. And if there's things that I'm disappointed in, there's things that I'm discouraged in, there's things where my heart is weary, that is the first thing that I need to address in my life. Come on. That's the first thing I need to address and say, God, teach me to tend to the soil of my heart so that it's soft and tender for your word to grow him. So Abraham, In hope, against all hope, he believed God without considering the natural, without considering his body being as good as dead. In all hope, against all hope, he believed. And in Genesis 26, it talks about his son Isaac. And Isaac, there was a famine in the land, and every single person ran to Egypt because Egypt was where all the resources are. And I'm finishing on this. Egypt was where all the resources were. And so a good businessman would think like this. There's a famine in the land. I'm a farmer. That's not good. What has resources that is going to help me and my family? Well, Egypt is prospering, so I better go there. But Isaac had a word from God that said, stay and sow seed. He would have looked like an idiot. Isaac would have looked really, really stupid because he's sowing seed in a famine where there's no rain. And everyone else has gone to Egypt. But I want you to think about this. Isaac was Abraham's son. He was a son who was birthed out of hope. He was birthed from a man who was full of hope and against all hope believe. Isaac was a baby of hope. Come on. Come on. And so he's in the land of famine, but he thinks, this is who my God is. This is what my God says. And so I'm sowing the seed. And he sows the seed, and the scripture says that in that same season, Isaac reaped 100-fold. In other words, the hope I carry impacts everyone around me. In other words, if I look after the soil of my heart, and if I commit to living in hope, if I commit to saying, I'm going to be a person of hope because hope is the foundation for faith to grow. I'm going to keep a hope-filled, happy heart because I know Jesus, because I know he lives in me. Not because of my external reality, but because of the internal reality. Come on, we're talking about thankfulness. God, I'm going to this. Well, thank you that I'm saved. God, thank you that my family knows. Thank you that my family knows you. Thank you that I get to walk with you every day. Come on, I live in thankfulness. I live in hope. Well, God, this doesn't look good in my life. That's okay. I live in a great country. I've got a great wife. I've got kids. They're doing well. Come on. Like, we need to think about things to be hope. Like, I need to build my hope. Come on. Hope's like a muscle, and I got to begin to build it. Well, God, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for the testimonies. I'm not seeing anyone saved. I'm not seeing anyone healed. Well, I thank you that over in Brazil, Randy Clark has a ministry and they see people healed daily. I thank you for that. God, that's awesome. God, you know, I woke up. I used to wake. One of my daily declarations is, God, I thank you that people are encountering your presence today. I thank you that people are being saved. I thank you that people are having dreams. Like, this was a daily declaration of mine. I thank you that people are being healed. I wasn't seeing any of it, but I knew it was happening around the world. So good, I'm going to take it because we're all in the body of Christ. Amen? So I thank you for it, God. I thank you for that. And I'm building my hope muscle. Why? Because hope impacts generations. Have you ever met a hope-filled, really happy Christian and you're like, they're just on a different juice to what I'm on? Have you ever met a Christian who's just like, you say, how you going? Life's really, really tough, really hard. We all go through things that are very challenging in life. And that's why it's so important to look after our heart. But I meet so many people and it's like, they know Jesus, but there's no hope there. There's no joy there. And it's like sometimes you go to places and there's like a Bible study or it's a worship night and it feels like it's a funeral. You know what I'm like, there's just like, where's the joy? Where's the hope? Because Jesus was a happy person. He was a happy person. Who knows that Jesus went to the cross? It's the foundation of our faith. He went to a cross. So Jesus was joyful even though he knew he was going to be crucified. In hope, against all hope. So that tells me that if Jesus can be happy and he lives in me, his spirit lives in me, that tells me that I can be happy and joyful. Come on. That tells me that I can live in a biblical hope. I believe that there is an impartation of hope for people. I just think like hope is so underrated. Hope is the most underrated thing in the Christian world. Because we look at hope and we think, well, I hope you get better. I hope this happens. Hope is weak to the world. But God says he who has the most hope has the most influence. The person who carries the most hope carries the most influence in life. Because hope is what influences the world, because hope is the foundation for faith to grow. And who knows that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so I'll finish with this testimony. There was a lady and she came to me and she had this, her family, in each generation, so her grandparents and then the son and then the next son, they all had this problem. It was an addiction and a health issue. And she just said to me, like, I've been building my faith. I've been trying to have faith. I've prayed for him for years and years and years, and nothing's happened. Right? And this is very real stuff. Like, this is super, like, we're talking about things where, like, this is real. This is, like, real life. Like, there's things that people are believing for where if they don't get a miracle, their family member's going to die. And so this, she's talking with me. This was just, like, 2 months ago. And she's like, I've got, what's the issue? Like, what's the problem? Why am I? And she's talking to me. And as she's talking to me, I'm realizing, you've got faith. She's questioning her faith. She's questioning God. But you've got faith. Your problem is not your faith. Your problem is you've got no hope. Your problem is that you've been believing for this and praying for this. You've got the mustard seed faith. It's there. But your problem is that you don't have any hope. Look at your emotional world. Look at the way you're living daily. Waking up. Going to work. Talking to people. The default of your life. Are you happy? Are you joyful? Every time she's like, Dean, I've got no faith, and I go to pray, and it's really hard. And I'm like, you just go back to the Lord and ask him to fill you with hope for those areas of your life. Ask him to fill you with hope for those prayers. Because your problem isn't faith. Your problem is that you need to add hope to what you're doing. Any area in your life any area in your life that you don't see as glistening with hope, you're believing a lie. If there's any area where you're like, I'm just disappointed, I'm discouraged, I'm going to leave that thing alone, God is saying he wants you to address that because you're not believing truth. My life needs to glisten with hope. My life needs to be like, I have a hope-filled lens. I have a God who loves me. The goodness of God. I'm saved by grace through faith. I live from the finished work of the cross. He loved me so much. Romans 8 says that he loved me so much that he died on a cross for me as a sinner. So how much more will he freely give me things now that I'm his son? All things, it says. How much more will he freely give me all things now that I'm his son? So we follow God who freely gives us all things. God's not withholding from me today. He's not withholding from you. Come on. If Jesus died for you while you were still a sinner, how much more will he freely give you all things now that you are a son or a daughter? So he's not withholding from me, but my heart I need to get rid of discouragement, disappointment, and weariness in my heart. And Abraham did that. Imagine Abraham, every month came around and there was still no baby. Right? Every month came around and he saw the sign that there was still no baby. Yet in hope, against all hope, Abraham believed. He had a supernatural hope from the Lord. So can we stand and pray? And I don't need to finish this in any way, but I just believe that God, he's going to fill people with hope. Like the promise, his promise is that he's here. His promise is that it's his good pleasure to give you his kingdom. So Jesus taught that his kingdom is here. So that means hope is here. I don't need to convince God to give me hope. I just need to receive it. I need to look at my life and I need to say, God, I've been praying chicken prayers. Come on. I've been praying prayers that aren't bold, that aren't brave, because I'm disappointed. Things like my prayers haven't worked in the past. So like I'm praying weak prayers. I'm not asking bold and brave prayers. I just need to be honest with myself. I just need to be like, God, I'm not believing that you'll come through here. Right? Because I'm discouraged. Because I'm disappointed. I need to be honest. I need to say, and that's a me problem. Like, don't blame God. Like, we don't put that on God. It's not like, well, God wants me to live a disappointed, discouraged, weary, tired life. That's not what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches that God gives us a happy heart. Full of joy. Come on. Come on. A merry heart is good medicine. Yeah? In other words, if I let hope fill my heart and joy fill my heart, it's going to impact my body, my health, my whole life. And every single person, a lot of people, if you woke up tomorrow morning with a headache or a migraine, you'd probably take some Panadol. Right? Well, there's people of faith in the room. You say, no, I'm going to push through that thing. Most people would be like, I'll pop a Panadol or two, right? It's medicine, yeah? And so in the spirit, God says, hey, if there's an issue with my heart, a happy heart is good medicine. In other words, I need to address my heart daily and just be like, Lord, fill my heart with hope. Fill my heart with joy. I get your word. I let the seed penetrate my heart. I let it grow. I keep the soil of my heart soft and tender to who you are. Soft and tender to your word. Because I truly believe that hope is the antidote to the weariness of your soul and your disappointment and discouragement. I truly believe that. We need to be a hope-filled, joy-filled people. That we look at our life and I put those glasses on, those hope-filled lenses on. Come on. So Jesus, we thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are our living hope. Thank you that you are the God of all hope. Thank you, Father. We pray. Oh. We pray that you crash in to our lives as the God of all hope. We welcome you to do that. We welcome you to do that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's just pray, like just for 1 minute. Let's just pray in the Spirit. Let's just bless the Lord. Let's just bless him this morning. You don't need to let me pray. Let's just bless him. Let's just thank God. Thank you, God. Thank you that we're one with you, Father. Thank you that we're born again. Thank you that we're seated with you, Jesus, in heavenly places. Thank you that we carry the power of your name. Thank you that we carry the power of your blood. Thank you that you've given us your spirit. Thank you, God, that you fill us with hope. Fill us with your truth. Thank you that you died for us, Jesus. Thank you that you poured your spirit out, that you ascended, that you died. You spent 3 days preaching victory in the grave. Thank you, Jesus, that you defeated sin, death, and the grave, and that you rose again, and that you are seated at the right hand of God. Thank you that your spirit was poured out upon all flesh, upon all people. Thank you that you've created for yourself, God, a people who follow you, Jesus, and who are full of you. We honor your presence this morning, God. We honor your presence. And I pray for people this morning where hearts are weary, where, God, there's people in the room and it's like you were burning for things in the past. You were believing God for things. You were going after it and you've pulled back. You've been timid and shy because you didn't see what you were expecting to see. And God is ministering into those areas directly for those people. He's coming into those areas of your heart and he's releasing hope today. Thank you, Father, that your banner over us is love. And Father, I pray that for this church, God. I pray for the elders, for the governance of this church, for every ministry in this church. Father, I pray that we would carry a hope-filled lens in our life. I pray that we would, even that you would shift the language of the way we speak about things, that our language would be full of hope, Father.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.